The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition. Well,
one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the weekend. It's Friday, March 12th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the next 60 minutes of news, talk, information, interviews, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We are here every weekday at 1 p.m. Pacific time at live.normal.org. You can catch our replays at 3, 5, 7, and 9 p.m. Pacific time, as well as get them on demand at iTunes or for download or immediate play at our blog, stash.normal.org. And joining me in our virtual studio in Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-sister, the greatest half-sister a guy could ever want, Cannabis Carrie.
Hey, RR, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. And for those folks that are new to the show, half-sister means that Carrie has a different dad and I have a different mom. It's very complex. Smoke a little, it makes more sense. So Carrie brings us our news from CannabisFantastic.com right after our first break. What are we looking forward to today, Carrie?
Well, we're going to cover another medical marijuana grow, I'll call it a bust, in Colorado. We're going to sift through a bunch of the testimony that was brought up yesterday in Maine over their dispensary law. And we've got our regular Friday short headlines and updates, including an update about that Washington councilman that got arrested for trafficking a few weeks ago.
All right. We'll check that out in just a couple of minutes here. Thanks, Carrie. Stay on the line. Also, coming up on today's show, we want to remind you to get involved on the change.org legalization question. We want to keep it up at number one. Don't fall behind. We're in just the last couple of days here. Go to miniurl.org/legalize. That's M-I-N-I-U-R-L, miniurl.org/legalization, /legalization. And you can vote to bring that to the top of the list again. On today's show, we have our Rockin' Friday for our Daily Toker Tunes, and our new music correspondent, Eric, is bringing us a song from a group called Hookah, and the song is called Chronic Boom. And then, as it is our second Friday of the month, we are joined by High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Dave Bienenstock for our High Times Magazine preview. We'll be talking about the first West Coast Cannabis Cup that High Times is putting on this year in San Francisco, as well as more on Ed Norton, Canadian Strains, and their new medical marijuana magazine coming out from High Times. Then, at 45 after the hour, we're joined by Jennifer Alexander. She is a legal analyst for Oregon Normal. She's here to go a little bit more in-depth on a story we broke here about the Oregon police, sheriffs in certain counties, who are ignoring the privacy restrictions of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act and putting patients in danger by broadcasting their names and addresses all over their websites and in news reports. So stay tuned for that. It's a pretty shocking story, and Jen has some new updates and details on the story that we didn't cover in our earlier talk about this week. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. I'm Radical Russ. We'll be right back after we pay a couple bills.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
A search warrant was executed on Tuesday in Grand Junction, Colorado, after an employee with the U.S. Census Bureau reported a strong chemical odor coming in through the ventilation system of the office where he worked. The employee called the Grand Junction Fire Department thinking there might be a fire, according to his affidavit. When a man exited the office complex next door, the person reporting said he observed what he thought were probably grow lights inside, and when the officers arrived on the scene, they noticed a strong marijuana smell. The Grand Junction Police Department were called out to investigate the suspicious odor. What they found was a medical grow operation in the office next to the Census Bureau. The warrant, signed by Judge Thomas D'Ester on Tuesday, allowed for the Western Colorado Drug Task Force to seize records in order to verify who the current primary caregiver is for the approximately 300 patients' files that were found inside the office along with the marijuana grow. They were also able to seize records, receipts indicating payment for cannabis sales and purchases, in addition to photographs, video, and samples of the plants in the office complex. The 308 medical marijuana cardholder records seized included all their personal contact information and the doctor who recommended for them to obtain their state card. Currently, the task force is sifting through all the records seized to determine if they have adequate current medical marijuana cardholders to support the presence of the 1,000 plants that were found inside. The owner of the grow supplies a local dispensary and says he is within the legal limits. The police have made no arrests and are still looking into the seized records to determine compliance. So far, no federal agents have been involved.
Oh, man. The situation in Colorado is just, you know, crazy. I mean, as far as how many things are going down so quickly there, just day after day, we have new updates and new reports from what's happening in their burgeoning cannabis industry. One of the things here that I would counsel people is, even if you do believe that your medical marijuana growing operation is legit and you have enough patients to cover it, I think setting up shop next to federal sort of offices probably isn't the best idea, right? Next to a Census Bureau office. I mean, you may have been perfectly well within your rights and everything, but that's not the first place I'd pick to set up a big grow operation next to where federal workers are going to be, you know, smelling it. And some other things are going on in Colorado that I'd like to bring up too here. We're getting a lot of reports of local prosecutors here in Colorado deferring their cases to the DEA because Colorado's Amendment 20 has a specific part in it that says that seized plants have to be cared for. Right. So rather than these local prosecutors taking care of people's medicine, taking care of their live plants, they instead just, you know, let the DEA take care of it because, you know, the DEA will just seize the medicine and destroy it. So that's a pretty sad thing that's going on there. There's another story that just broke in Denver's Westword about the CannaMed clinics out there. And really some vile practices, if you ask me, that are going on where people are joining, are going to this clinic and to get a reduced rate to get their medical marijuana their medical marijuana registration card, for to get that reduced rate for the recommendation, this CannaMed clinic system is selling their names to dispensaries for like $350 a pop. Because the way that dispensaries work in Colorado is that dispensaries are technically the caregivers for all of their customers. So the customers actually have to list the dispensary as their caregiver. And since a caregiver can only maintain 2 ounces of medicine and 6 plants for every patient, in order for these dispensaries to be able to have their inventory, they need to have a certain number of names. And so now they're buying those names off of these doc shops, off of these clinics for, you know, $350 a piece. And there's a really disturbing quote in one of the reports where one of these CanniMed's owner, I believe, was saying, well, you can't just leave the person that we assigned you to be your dispensary after they paid $350 for you. You know, as if we were talking a quote from an 1840s Southern plantation. You can't leave. They already paid for you. It's really scary what's going on sometimes in Colorado, and I sure hope the activists take the right road here and make sure that they have the patient's interests at heart.
The medical marijuana dispensary law passed by Maine voters last November was officially presented to the legislation's Health and Human Services Committee yesterday. Lawmakers are trying to figure out how to create a regulated system for distribution of cannabis to qualify patients. The bill being considered is based on the recommendations of a state task force after voters approved of creating a nonprofit dispensary system to help patients get a safe supply of cannabis. The bill sets no limits on the number of dispensaries that could be established, but it suggests that cities and towns could impose their own limits through zoning regulations. Representative Michael Selle, who spoke by first saying he was neither for nor against the bill, says that the dispensary system will be a disaster. Quote, the state of California and the state of Oregon are trying to get out from under the dispensary system because it is a disaster. There's one on every corner. They cannot regulate them, so the number of dispensaries would be an issue. I'm not really sure which Oregon he is referring to.
Yeah.
He also said that the potency and pricing would be a problem for patients who would end up shopping around and constantly changing dispensaries. Representative Ann Haskell brought up her solution to the quality control issue, an amendment on the current bill that would limit the number of growers to 5. They would be licensed by the Department of Agriculture for 3 years and sell wholesale product to dispensaries. Medical marijuana activists think that Haskell's amendment is a terrible idea. John Levitt says that the bill is the most successful job creations piece of legislation in the state, where thousands of people can be able to grow a plant legally and create income for themselves to pay bills for their families, saying, with one stroke of the pen, the legislature could wipe out that by centralizing this in the hands of a few small agribusinesses. The Maine Medical Association would also like to add some amendments to the bill that would set up a process for overseeing any children with cannabis recommendations. They also asked for the authority to delete some of the qualifying medical conditions if current science doesn't support its efficacy, although they didn't mention if they would add any conditions if science supported that cannabis would be an effective treatment option. The Maine Civil Liberties Union officially opposes the bill, which says it perpetuates the misguided portrayal of medical marijuana patients and caregivers as criminals, since it requires a patient registry and invites unwarranted government scrutiny. Attorney Dan Walker, who was also on the task force and said that the law remains silent on taxing marijuana sales, and he recommended bringing in the taxation committee into the discussion. It's quite a bit of input, and now the committee will start work on drafting a final bill next week.
Well, Maine dispensary bills here. It's always funny to me when they look at dispensaries as if they're, you know, worse than a liquor store even, you know. We're going to only have 5 growers. We're only going to have, you know, a certain number of dispensaries. People have to be locked into only going to that dispensary. And yet, if they want to get OxyContin or Percocet, there's a whole bunch of pharmacies and Walgreens they can go to. There's all sorts of things, all sorts of options they have. And nobody ever just seems to have a problem with that. So, yeah, it's always a funny story to me when I hear these things about the fear of dispensaries, especially when they point out California, and they try to make it seem as if California is this big, big problem, when most of the locations like Oakland and other places that have, you know, gone ahead and come up with sensible regulations haven't had any problems with their dispensaries. And even in the places that they claim are so out of control, like Los Angeles, even the LAPD's own chief has said that banks are more likely to be a problem than a dispensary is, that they don't seem to have the crime problems that all the opponents say they do. I know that we're having some problems with the sound there, and we will get that fixed as soon as we can, but we've got to continue with the news.
And now for my Friday updates. Washington State Olympian City Councilman Joe Heyer has pleaded not guilty to drug charges, and his lawyer is claiming that Heyer was entrapped. Heyer entered not guilty pleas Tuesday in Thurston County Superior Court to charges of possession and delivery of a controlled substance. He was arrested last month by the Thurston County Narcotics Task Force and accused of selling marijuana two different times at his home to a person who turned out to be an informant. Heyer's lawyers say that the person that Heyer thought was a friend induced him to commit a crime he would not otherwise committed. Heyer has remained on the job as a council member, and he attended a city council meeting only a few hours after entering his not guilty plea.
Oh, man. What a story this is. We'll have to keep an eye on this guy and see how this develops.
The Organization of American States, a centuries-old organization of North, South, and Central American countries, along with the United Nations, released a study this week about alcohol, tobacco, and drug consumption among high school students. The study looked at over 170,000 students from Peru, Argentina, Bolivia, Chile, Ecuador, and Uruguay. They found that Chile's marijuana consumption in the sampled age groups was the highest at 22.7%. That's more than double the regional average of 11%. Comparatively, trying alcohol was reported by over 70% of the students, almost the same as tobacco being reported as being smoked at least once. An alarming trend that the study uncovered is the rise of inhalant use in Peru, Bolivia, and Ecuador.
I wonder why Chile would have such higher rates of teen usage. I can't think of any demographic reasons or economic reasons that might be true. Maybe geographical. I mean, the whole country is essentially the Pacific coast, right? The whole country is just that one long, thin line down South America on the Pacific coast. So I don't know if that would have something to do with it, but it's definitely something worth thinking about. And again, we'll tell you more about that as we learn more.
Ivory Williams, an American world-class sprinter, has tested positive for marijuana at the U.S. Indoor Championships in February and has been disqualified from all results at the meet, thus nullifying his chance to compete in the World Championships. He will also be banned for 3 months from his sport and has to complete an anti-doping education program. The 24-year-old former world junior champion ran the fastest 60 meters in the world this season, 6.49 seconds, to win the American indoor title on February 28th in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
You know, we do a lot of these stories on sports and world-class athletes that test positive for drugs. And every time, it's nearly one of two types of drugs. It's either a performance enhancer, like, you know, the steroids or the stuff you can take that gives you more oxygen to your blood or, you know, all these different performance enhancers. Or it's marijuana, right? You know, I never seem to find any stories of these people who train for hours a day, people who manage their diet down to the gram, people who tune their bodies to the peak of performance, turning up positive for heroin or methamphetamine. And for that matter, I can't think of many that are known for heavy drinking either. But cannabis shows up in the world's greatest swimmer, the world's greatest football wide receivers, the world's greatest sumo wrestlers, the world's greatest wrestlers, both regular wrestling and pro wrestling, the world's greatest basketball players, the world's greatest dog sled mushers, the world's greatest mixed martial artists, the world's greatest baseball pitchers, the world's greatest rugby players, and now the world's greatest indoor sprinter. Do you think maybe there's a reason these people who are so in tune with their bodies are choosing cannabis?
And lastly, the Hemp Industries Association and Vote Hemp have announced this week about the first annual Hemp History Week to be held May 17th through 23rd this year. As a national grassroots education campaign designed to renew strong support for hemp farming in the U.S., Hemp History Week will feature a letter-writing campaign and events in cities and towns all over the country. Organizers expect the campaign to collect 50,000 hand-signed postcards addressed to President Barack Obama and Attorney General Eric Holder, asking them to end the ban on hemp farming and let American farmers grow the versatile and profitable crop. Hemp History Week volunteers are being asked to visit libraries and historical societies to find old newspaper articles and other documents about local hemp farming and manufacturing before the crop was banned. Plans for all this newly discovered research will be presented at scheduled public events in May. Go to votehemp.org for more information if you want to get involved.
Votehemp.org. I'm all for it. I've always said that the banning of hemp is the stupidest thing in our war on drugs. Making hemp illegal because it looks like cannabis is like making powdered sugar illegal because it looks like cocaine. All right, it's time to take that 20 after break as we get ready for the weekend. I hope you guys all have a good weekend. Check us out on the Oregon Normal Meeting broadcast tomorrow, noon Pacific.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man, reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Five of the last seven people to run for president and the last three winners have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House.
Welcome back. Normal Show Live, 22 after the hour. Having some troubles with the Stick'em stream. Seems to be bouncing up and down, so don't blame us. We're doing the best we can. Catch us on the replay if you miss any of our recorded material. Coming up next, your daily Toker Tunes. It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by The Bastard, blogging at jerseyandohio.wordpress.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune. Oh, I still need to re-record that intro. We are no longer joined by the Bastard. He had to leave us. But we're now joined by our new music editor, Eric, who brings us our tune for Rockin' Friday today.
Hi, Stashers. Eric Smokebud here with another Rockin' Friday Toker Tune for ya. Today's offering is Chronic Boom by a formation of musicians called Hookah, spelled H-U-K-A. Now you may notice I don't use the word band. That's because Hookah is not exactly a band. Here's the explanation on their listen420.com page. Brought together by a common interest, the Hookah dudes threw down one night, and here's the tape. Hookah is an alter ego of a band whose management is against the cross-pollination of the two. Weird, huh? Oh well, we just like to rock and smoke. I know, I'm as confused as you are. Apparently these guys were heavily medicated. I did, however, understand that last part, and yes, they do indeed rock. Fortunately for us, they express themselves much better musically through a compelling combination of classic rock and funk. Here is Chronic Boom.
Hit that chronic boom. Smoke's filling up the room. Feel like you're walking on the moon. When you hit that chronic boom.
just beginning.
No smoke until your head is dead.
Y'all know it's heaven sent,
and it makes the world less turbulent.
People wouldn't be so lonely if they'd only
get that chronic glow. Smoke's filling up the room. Feel like you're walking on the moon when you hit that chronic glow.
Aliens and residents, citizens and residents, we all live to tell the tale.
Say it proud, we do it.
If you don't, it sucks to be a missing out on the sense of me. Northern Lights and Maui Wowie, this is how we hit that chronic boom.
Smoke's filling up the room. When you hit that chronic boom,
hit that chronic boom, hit that chronic, 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 hit that chronic.
That chronic boom. Smoke's filling up the room. Feels like you're walking on the moon. Jump back when you hit that chronic boom. Hit that chronic boom. Hit that chronic boom.
It's filling up the room.
That walk on the moon.
That's Hookah, H-U-K-A, with Chronic Boom. Great song from Eric Smokebud for his debut Rockin' Friday tune. Thank you so much, Eric Smokebud, who also gladly changed his name from Greenbud to Smokebud in honor of Chief Greenbud.
It's 420 somewhere.
We can't have too many green buds. We've got an Eric Smoke Bud and now a Chief Green Bud bringing us our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. Coming up tonight, March 12th, Friday, Tennessee Normal is having their public meeting at 4525 Harding Road in Nashville, Tennessee, in the second floor conference room. Check out tnnormal.org for more details. Saturday, March 13th, United States Virgin Islands is going to be tabling at the St. Croix AgriFest, so check that out on the islands. Also check out usvinormal.org for details. Detroit 313 Medical Marijuana Film Festival is taking place tomorrow in Detroit, Michigan. Check out minormal.org for more information. Southern California Normal is having their meeting at the World Beat Center, Balboa Park, San Diego. normalsc.org for SoCal Normal. Northern Michigan Compassion Club is meeting in Sheboygan on the this Saturday, March 13th, the Horizon Bookstore in Petoskey, Michigan. minormal.org for details. Ohio Normal is having their annual meeting in the Lodi Library in Lodi, Ohio, also having their elections for officers. And as mentioned before, Oregon Normal is having their cardholders meeting at the Village Ballroom, 700 Northeast Deakin in Portland, Oregon, with special guest Normal founder and legal counsel Keith Strop will be speaking at the Oregon Normal Cardholder Meeting. It is the largest normal meeting in the world and the largest normal chapter in the world with over 2,000 annual dues-paying members. You can check out the meeting online right here at live.normal.org. We'll be streaming live starting at noon Pacific tomorrow. That's with guest Keith Strop. You'll also get to hear from Madeline Martinez, Oregon Normal's executive director, a member of the Normal Board, as well as the founder of the Cannabis Cafe. For more information on any of these events and to check out the Cannabis Community Calendar, just go to norml.org/calendar.
Georgia, Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Since 1970, NORML has been fighting for the rights of all adults who use cannabis responsibly. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community. Every second Friday of the month, we bring that working relationship to the NORML Daily Audio Stash with our special guest, Senior Editor Dave Bienenstock, author of the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, for our exclusive monthly preview of this month's issue of High Times.
All right, everybody, 32 after the hour, and we're doing our High Times issue preview. We're getting Dave Bienenstock on the line. He's High Times senior editor. While we get that taken care of, I'll just tell you a little bit about what you can look forward to. Up on the webcam, you can see it's the Big Yields issue. You can see great, beautiful big bud on the cover there. And the idea here is an article of getting big yields in small spaces. A lot of cannabis growers out there are required, you know, you forced to by prohibition, conceal your grow and keep it in a small closet. So this will tell you everything you need to know about how to increase the yield in these small spaces, these, using a 400 watt light and so on. Also want to point out the normalizer articles that we have in this month's, High Times magazine. Thanks going out to our own, Cliff Duval. We spoke with Cliff on Tuesday. He is this month's Freedom Fighter of the Month for High Times Magazine with an article entitled "Don't Mess with a Texan's Medicine." Tells a story about how this Central Texas veteran has found other like-minded people in a very difficult area of the country, Waco, Texas, in order to start his burgeoning NORML chapter. You can check them out at normalwacoinc.org if you'd like more information on that new chapter. Dr. Mitch's column is here in High Times as well. A lot of folks join us for our cannabis science that we have every Wednesday with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He's always a great guest, always has that great column in High Times. Now, joining us is our senior editor from High Times Magazine, Dave Bienenstock. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Russ, or should I say hi, Russ?
Yeah, you could say that, certainly. Holding a copy of the new magazine in my hands here. And I think the thing that people will most want to hear about from you is what's up on the very top, you know, above the title, New West Coast Cannabis Cup. What's the scoop, Dave?
I thought I maybe gave you that scoop the last time we talked, but now we're really...
It's official now.
It's up on the web. It is official, and it is something that a lot of people are very excited about, both within High Times and, let's just say, we're hearing from the field that, there's a lot of excitement all around California and the West Coast. It's going to be June 19th and 20th in San Francisco. We're looking forward to a really amazing event, expos, seminars, really the leaders of the medical marijuana movement are going to be involved. And then, of course, we're having a cup competition. Jorge Cervantes, our longtime cultivation editor, and obviously his books speak for themselves, will be our head judge. So we really think this is an opportunity to find out who's got the best medicine, and we really, aside from being a very fun event, we think that's an important service that we can hopefully help provide to the patient community. And the judging will be certainly with that in mind.
You know, everybody knows the famous High Times Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam, and that'll still be going on. Do you guys plan any differences on how you're going to run this medical cannabis cup as compared to the cannabis cup in Amsterdam?
Hopefully better weather.
Yeah.
But fewer coffee shops. I mean, the thing about the Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam is it's a destination. It's a vacation. It's a dream. It's a pilgrimage. And it's in Amsterdam. The beauty of that place and that event will certainly go on. We're going to be having our 23rd annual cup, this year. As scheduled, what California, we're looking at a 2-day event in one location. We're going to have a great concert on Saturday night. Eagles of Death Metal are going to be the headliners, Mixmaster Mike. But I would say, this, as much as this is going to be a good time, this is really an event that we are focusing on the medical community.
Okay.
I would say that would be probably the main difference. The other difference is, the voting, at least for this year at the Medical Cup in San Francisco, is going to be a panel of experts. Whereas, given the difference in the law in Amsterdam, we're able to open it up to anybody who wants to be a judge. That said, I think certain similarities are probably obvious.
Okay. Another focus here on the magazine, right here on the cover, we got a picture of actor Edward Norton. A lot of folks know him from his various roles in cinema. I guess he's got a new movie coming out that kind of focuses on the cannabis culture. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I saw the movie, and I was the one who interviewed him. It's interesting. He plays a hydroponic grower. He actually plays two twins in the film, which is kind of a weird theme. In researching to interview him, Fight Club, he plays two aspects of the same personality,
right.
And in another film, he had split personalities, and now he's actually two twins, one of whom is a hydroponic grower with a huge setup who sort of gets himself into trouble, and the other is a Harvard, an Ivy League professor who gets pulled into his brother's world to try to help him out. It was a really interesting film, and it was a great conversation. He's obviously a very thoughtful person who has some interesting things to say, not just about marijuana, but about marijuana growers and how he researched the role and everything.
Okay. Noticing another part in the magazine, right in the center here, big gold fold-out of the High Times 2010 Legalization Guide. This is an excerpt from your Pot Smoker's Handbook, and I was wondering how is the Pot Smoker's Handbook going? And with regards to this article, you're pointing out all the different groups involved in marijuana legalization. Anything you'd like to say to our folks about getting involved?
I would say normal.org. If I had just one thing to say, but with legalization literally on the ballot, we've come such a long way.
Yeah.
If you've been waiting to be on the winning team, now's the time to please jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah,
I guess, and I think everyone I've talked to who's been at this for a long time and lived through some really tough days of advocacy. We want you to jump on the bandwagon. We want you to get involved now. We're at the tipping point, to take somebody else's coined phrase.
Gotcha.
And getting involved, in the issue, you're going to see a variety of different organizations, all of whom are an excellent choice to get involved. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you know about Normal, and that's probably the best place to get involved.
Well, Well, thank
but
you.
But the time to get involved is now.
The time is now. Never been a busier time in marijuana law reform. I have a map that I've just produced for Normal. It's up on one of my posts up at stash.normal.org under a story on a California cardholder getting busted in Idaho. Shock and surprise. But the map is quite amazing because not only does it show all of the current medical marijuana and decrim states, but I've also outlined the states that are doing something, you know, having some sort of bill or initiative, you know, and that's not to say they're going to pass or anything, but it just shows how much activity we're seeing in America. I mean, you've been doing this job for quite a long time. This has got to be the most activity you've seen around marijuana legalization yet.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think that there's, you know, there's these, for, you know, quote unquote, high profile efforts, you know, particularly the legalization initiative in California, but there's sort of a quiet revolution going on, like you were talking about, of state by state, community by community. You know, for a long time, the winds were in our face, and it was, and the real mission was to literally just get information out to people so that they weren't misinformed by the government and prohibitionists. And now it seems like, I don't want to say we've won that argument because we need to continue to make that argument, but we're shifting into a time when we can put that momentum to actual use, to actually affect change on the ground, not just in how people perceive marijuana, but in how the law treats marijuana. And it's exciting to be a part of, and every one of your listeners certainly should be getting involved in that.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. In the winning hearts and minds, I think we've largely won that battle when we see, you know, support for medical marijuana above 80% and support for legalization finally tipping 50%. I think that's indicative. There's another great article you've got in here with a beautiful two-page picture of this, you know, hundreds of acres of Canadian hemp, this big hemp field out there in Manitoba, and this company, Manitoba Harvest. Is it something, is the hemp industry, you know, the non-high part, going to be more focused on in high times as of late?
I mean, we've been covering hemp for quite some time, and I have to say, even as a young person, long before I even dreamed of working at High Times, that was how I really, that and The Emperor Wears No Clothes are the two ways that I learned about hemp and its many uses and what I think you can only call something of a conspiracy against it. So we've covered hemp. We're going to continue to cover hemp. I think, you know, hemp may be seeing its day as well. We just have to keep it away from our pot.
Yeah, no kidding. I've heard of California authorities that encourage people to grow hemp fields near city limits to try to discourage outdoor pot growing. Is that something you've heard reports of?
I've never heard a credible report of that, but yeah. I don't even want to discuss that because I don't want to give anybody any ideas.
Yeah, really.
Wouldn't work, Russ, for a variety of reasons I can't get into right now.
It would never work. That's right. It's one of those urban myths. It's not true. There we go. You also usually have great articles in here on the latest in music and artists here that are cannabis supportive. Who can we pull up in this High Times this month?
I would actually have to flip through it. You know, month to month, it's easy to lose track of which is in which issue. One of the cool stories we have in here, we have a two-page on a group called Major Lazer, which is, they are just these pretty far-out DJs who have created a second animated persona for themselves as like dance hall, pot loving reggae Avengers. I've heard the music because I was listening to it, and it's really good when we were working on the story. But for the full story on them, you really have to check out the issue.
Okay. And coming up here, and of course, we're just getting breaking into the big season for festivals and all of the expositions that are happening. Of course, 420 is just around the corner. Are there any of these events that you're headed to that people could catch up with you, maybe get a signed copy of your Pot Smoker's Handbook?
Yeah, for sure. I will actually be tomorrow heading to the Students for Sensible Drug Policy Conference in San Francisco, and I will be I'll be signing books there and donating all the proceeds to National SSDP. The MAPS conference, Psychedelic Science, is coming up in April. You can go to MAPS.org and find out a bit more about that. The THC Expo in Los Angeles, I'll be there with a few of my fellow High Time staffers. Obviously, the Cannabis Cup is the place to be in June, and something that's on my calendar 1 year in advance every year is the Normal Convention, which this year is up in your neck of the woods, and I've never been there, and I'm really looking forward to going. So I would say all that and more. It's going to be a pretty amazing summer.
Yeah, it's going to be a great summer, and check out the events on our Normal calendar, normal.org/calendar. Dave Biedenstock is the senior editor for High Times Magazine, joins us on the second Fridays of every month, and gives us our High Times Magazine preview. Thanks a lot, Dave, for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Russ.
All right. 45 after the hour, we're right back.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook rolls all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
The Emerald Sun will rise on St. Paddy's Day, March 17, 2010. Emerald Sun is opening up our design studio at 9423 North Division in Spokane. We're at the Y. Visit us at www.emerald-sun.com for details on our specialty threads and designs with the cannabis culture in mind.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, party politics, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
Well, this is a big news story that we brought to your attention earlier this week, coming out of my home state here in Oregon. And joining us to discuss it more in depth is the analyst who has brought to light many of these situations here in the state, Jen Alexander with Oregon Normal. Jen, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Russ.
Glad to have you here. I know you, both you and I, are battling colds and flus, and so we really appreciate you straining your voice to join us here to wrap up the weekend.
No problem. Don't mind me sounding a little like a frog.
That's okay. We'll get through it. So we did tell the story basically of how in Oregon, the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act specifically notes in the law that that they have a registry system. You know, Oregon patients can get their name on a card. It's on a statewide registry. And that registry is open to law enforcement, but the only thing law enforcement can use it for is to verify whether or not someone is a cardholder. And once they've gotten that information, they can't use it for any other purpose. So could you tell our listeners what's happening in some of these counties in Oregon and why Oregon Normal is so upset about it?
Well, when you're reading along in the paper, you see, you know, multiple articles that say such and such person was arrested for selling marijuana or for possessing marijuana, and then it'll say, he was a valid Oregon medical marijuana patient. And when you read the law and you see that they're not supposed to release that information, I mean, that definitely causes concern. I talked to the supervisor that runs the law enforcement database system, and he informed me that they were not allowed to give that information out. So I did some research, and I see that it's regularly occurring, particularly in Washington County, and that's why we chose to write the letter to them. But we've seen it in Polk County and in Newport and, you know, a few other places where, worse in previous years, 2007, 2008, there were a lot more breaches of this confidentiality. But I think as people are becoming more comfortable with the fact that this is, you know, a valid medical use, most of the counties seem to be leaning towards favoring those privacy rights. However, Washington County is kind of coming out and making it a point to only address issues to the public about these medical marijuana patients. As I mentioned to you on the phone the other day, when I was researching their news releases, I couldn't find a single marijuana arrest outside of the medical marijuana patients that I put in that letter. And if it's really as big of a problem as they say it is, we would expect to be finding multiple non-patients as well, not just, you know, four random arrests or mentions of medical marijuana patients over a six-month period.
So it's the contention here that
it definitely causes concern.
The law enforcement folks here are busting folks all the time for marijuana, but they're only mentioning the ones they bust who were medical users.
Exactly. I mean, that, you have to assume that because there's no doubt even within the medical marijuana community that there are marijuana users that are not patients.
Sure.
So I find it hard to believe that the only ones are these ones that are patients.
Okay.
The four that I found, as I reported in that letter, were from September, and then more recently in January. My thought is that they're doing this in an attempt to sort of preemptively attack improvements to the medical marijuana program or legalization efforts, you know, that are kind of popping up all across the country. But you can't find any reference to them making any other marijuana busts, and we know they're there. They have to be.
Yeah. And politically speaking here, it's interesting, you know, geopolitically speaking, it's very interesting because of the proximity of Washington County to Multnomah County. Now, Multnomah County, where I'm streaming from right now, Portland, Oregon, and the surrounding metro area, is very, very accepting of the medical marijuana program, even to the point where the head of the Portland Police Bureau, Chief Rosie Sizer, has written out a memo to all police officers in Portland to not deal with or to not harass anyone who is in legal compliance with the medical marijuana laws. That's part of how the Cannabis Cafe is able to function so well. But right over, you know, right, we have a little mountain range kind of, and right over the mountain range, you hit the other side of town, you're in Beaverton, Oregon, where Nike's world headquarters are, and there's other, you know, considerations there. And that's Washington County, where they're much more conservative, and the sheriff, Rob Gordon, has, you know, voiced his displeasure with medical marijuana. In one of the articles I had written up on about this, they had even acknowledged that they knew they weren't supposed to be releasing this patient information, but they were, quote, going against what the state advises, as if the medical marijuana law was just advice. So I was wondering if you could speak to that angle and maybe give us some specifics on what are happening, maybe a couple case stories of what are happening here in Oregon that is so egregious with these privacy violations.
Well, the worst case one is obviously the one that you blogged on. That one is offensive to me as a parent on so many levels because they left that woman with a quote unquote usable amount of marijuana. And that one was in Polk County. And then said that they took her guns, left her at home with her children and arrested her husband. So this poor unprotected woman at home with her children is reported in the news as having a usable amount of marijuana, which as you address, I mean, we're presuming that it was at least dried marijuana. It could have been plants as well, and who knows what else. That's offensive on so many levels. But there's multiple cases. There's another one where a man was arrested in Newport in December of this last year, and he was accused of selling marijuana. And then it goes on to say, name redacted, like you said, of Newport, an Oregon medical marijuana program patient was arrested on accusations of delivery of a controlled substance. And it goes along to, you know, make all these claims about him being close to a school, this, that, and the other. But the problem there, and the real thing that stands out to me is it's accusations. We have not convicted these people. I don't think that the OMMA gives them the right to even release that information if they were convicted. But what if they're found innocent? Now we've just violated their privacy for no reason at all. In another instance, there's three men broke into a victim's home and with the presumption, according to police, to rob them of their medical marijuana that they kept on the property. And although it doesn't give the exact address in this case, it does give the apartment complex, and it says the date that it happened and the time. And any neighbor in the area now knows that this man keeps marijuana in his house, making him a potential subject of further harassment by, you know, robbers or other people who are less inclined to be favorable to the medical marijuana use. Part of the reason why we're given this patient protection is because it is a controversial subject and because medical practice is privacy protected. You don't see articles that say such and such person was arrested for whatever and he was seeing his doctor to get Vicodin the day before, unless the Vicodin is a relevant portion, like if he was robbing a pharmacy for Vicodin.
Right.
When they're throwing this Oregon medical marijuana patient information out there, they're only doing it with the intent to affect public opinion and not for any valid reason. And that is definitely not in compliance with the intent of the OMMA or the exact wording of the OMMA. One other thing that's come to our attention, and we have to find out more information, and I haven't been able to get a firm answer on this, but I personally believe that it's also in violation of HIPAA compliance laws, which are to protect your medical privacy. The OMMP, according to their own website, follow all HIPAA laws, so they define that information as being under HIPAA protection on their website. So it seems that any agency of the police that is releasing this information, whether it be Washington County, which, as we both noted, seems to be the worst offender, but Polk County and a couple of other counties as well, they're in violation of both the OMMA and HIPAA laws in their breach of this confidentiality, and they're doing it under the guise of complying with the law by arresting offenders, and I don't think that they can violate the law to do their job.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right to me.
Like,
Jen, one quick question here as we wrap things up. Is there any plans from Oregon Normal's board to take this to court and actually sue over this?
Well, we're discussing how to proceed with this. We don't have any firm plan in place. We're waiting to get a response back from hopefully the Washington County Sheriff's Office or the Department of Justice, both who were forwarded copies of the letter. And obviously, you know, dependent upon the response would depend upon how we proceed. But I would hope that if they're going to continue with this, that we will continue to take it further because it's a necessary protection for patients, both for their safety and their patient rights.
Oh, completely agree. Jen Alexander, legislative analyst from Oregon Normal, thank you for joining us here on Normal Show Live. And we'll see you at the meeting tomorrow.
Excellent. You have a good day.
All right. And speaking of that meeting, we will be broadcasting Oregon Normal's cardholder meeting featuring Keith Stropp, Normal founder and legal counsel. We'll be at the meeting tomorrow, noon Pacific, right here at live.normal.org. I'm sure we'll be talking more about these privacy breaches as well. For more information, check out Oregon Normal's website at ornorml.org. And also reading you folks in the chat room, let me just say, yes, the CBS ad is on. The Normal Money Tree ad will be debuting this week, either Monday or Tuesday. I'm going to bet on Tuesday, on the CBS Super Billboard in Times Square. 26-foot by 20-foot electronic billboard, and we're trying to get it run at 20 after the hour. It'll broadcast 18 times per day. 1.5 million people will walk by Normal's ad every day. Also on Tuesday, Empire State Normal, the state affiliate in New York, will be in Times Square at that billboard with a press release and a press conference to trumpet the ad. I also think, and I can't confirm for sure yet, but Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre will probably be there as well. So check your news, and we're going to get this broadcast all over the world. world. For everyone here at normal.org, I'm Radical Russ, and for Cannabis Carrie, thanks for tuning into the show. Have yourselves a great weekend, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers. That's right, Oregon Normal's cardholder meeting. Check it out tomorrow, live.normal.org, noon Pacific. Follow me on Twitter, at Radical Russ. Email, stash@normal.org.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
We love each and every one of you. Have a great weekend. Get yourself wuzzily fungible. And like I said, until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.